So usually during this time, what we do is to speak about something that hopefully that is helpful for everyone in this situation. Of course, it's not possible that this is helpful for everyone, but we keep on trying. And also, usually the way we do, like meaning Jaya and I do, like Ajay reads text and translates, but usually the way we do is we express something, like one specific kind of theme or thing that is going on, we pick up that and we kind of explore that specific subject. But I like this time, instead of doing that, I'm kind of going through my old notes. I have many. Luckily my brother let me keep my old notes, which is like many boxes like this, in his house in Spain. Otherwise I would be in trouble. So, some of these notes are conversations between me and a person who I really love, with whom I had contact from when I was like around 13 till I was like around 19. And she died like 2 years ago, and she was living in the mountains alone. And for me, like, she really brought fire into my heart. And she really helped me, like, kind of keep on going. And so here I am. Like, for many reasons, but I can say, like, she has a big part of this, you know. So I'm picking just some of these conversations, and so they are my questions and her answers. So. And I just speak like this, so it doesn't make that sense altogether, like one after the other, but somehow it makes sense. So first, I ask her and how I will find my path. And she said, like, you just copy less and be more yourself. And then she also said, what we know about ourselves is what we build, what we have been building over the years, not really what we are. That's why when we listen to this sentence, be yourself, from the old, we actually don't have any clue of what that means. So, and also, like, please, if there is any question or anything, yeah. Beginning of the answer. Yeah, so like, because it's written in Catala, so, which is kind of some language similar between Spanish and French, so I'm translating. She says, like, because the sentence before, she says, copy less and be more yourself. Be yourself. And then she kind of keeps on following this sentence, but actually what we know about ourselves is only what we have been building. So not really what we are. That's why if you are listening this sentence, be yourself from the old, from basically from where you are now, then that means that there is no way that you have, that you can have any idea what be yourself means. Yes?
So what I am using for myself is not what I am?
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever you think about who you are, like, for sure this is not, basically. So it's tricky, because she says, like, be yourself, and at the same time he's saying, like, but actually, whatever you are understanding from my words has nothing to do with what I really mean. So, like, in other words, I could have answered to her, so then why are you speaking, you know? But actually, to me this also says a lot. Like, not to think that you know who you are, but still, please, be yourself. Like, still, please, keep on finding who you are. Who you are.
Is it another voice, like when someone tells you, don't copy anyone, be yourself? Like you're copying him, then you don't copy.
Yeah.
So I find for myself, it's like another voice, like you know what is true, like it's like this. Not
yeah. But right now it's like another voice, you know? Like,
but it's a voice, it's not like, it's just another voice
telling me, find yourself. Yeah. But sometimes these words can help. Like sometimes, like they are words that they are very repetitive. So again, we copy this fact of not copying. But sometimes we hear something that is so new to us that opens a new window for us. So it's kind of, sometimes we hear something that is authentic and that, let's say that has the power to open a new window. And somewhere we know that this is not copying. Like, that is somehow like this. It's not that then that means that we follow exactly those words, but somehow that resonates in us. And that can break some pattern and make us move somehow out of our usual world. But it's good to be rebellious also. Like, it's really good. No, it's really necessary, you know. Otherwise, like, we won't be here. You know. We are not rebellious. We will probably all be like, I don't know, lawyers or economists. I don't know what, you know. I don't know. I never tried, but. So. Then I asked, like, how to walk without any base. Then she says, like following the heart, but in the beginning, when you start following the heart, it will really look to you that you are walking on air. But slowly, slowly, that will become more real than what you think now as real. So first we'll be like very uncomfortable to follow this, let's say this inner voice, because we will be kind of alone, like there is no base, there is no recordings there, like that we can just listen and follow. There is only this turning in, and in the beginning, like somehow complete loneliness. because none of the neighbors are doing that, or friends or family many times. But slowly, slowly, that will become like so certain, like more certain than what you call real now, like more real than this, you know, that this is a gong, you know, even more real. And then I asked to her, because she was really like always, I was living with her for like a while. Every time I was going there, I would have to stay there for a while. And then she was waking up every morning, like 4 o'clock, and just going down to a very kind of dark place and singing to God. And I, you know, like sometimes I would feel this joy of waking up, you know, like you open your eye and really feeling, wow, the only thing I want to do is to sing, you know. Like sometimes it comes like this. But certainly like other times it's not like this. So I open my eyes and then it's like, only thing I want to do is to turn the other side and keep on sleeping. So then I was really amazed to see that, like, day after day, she was doing the same, with the same kind of enthusiasm. And year after year, it's like, it's not like 1 week retreat, you know. So, by the way, so, yeah, because it's really uncomfortable. Like, because we trust everything, like everything that we have proof, let's say, we trust. But whatever we don't have any proof, it's very difficult to trust. And especially if it comes from ourselves, you know. Like if our friend says, maybe we have this tendency, maybe we will trust better than if our heart is saying. So in the beginning, like she was saying that in the beginning is actually very difficult. It's not like you will see very clearly just a big path open for you, you know. Like it's not. Like in the beginning you will feel more like being in the forest and kind of not seeing clearly. You will feel like it won't be comfortable. You will have to really check again and again till this trust will kind of grow and become like more like touchable and more alive in you. The other day I was reading somewhere, like, I like this sentence, like someone in one book, like someone says, like, Jesus was walking in water, but you will have to walk even without water. You know? It's like, like I can feel like really, really true, but then it really feels, oh, if I can at least have water, you know, then it seems very easy with water, you know, but no, it's like, you will have to walk even without water. But, oh my goodness. So that is okay? Or? Yeah, so it's, I think it's good. Like, yeah, I think it's good. It's just like that you won't feel that like 2 and 2 are 4. You know, you will have to really, like suddenly 2 and 2 will be 7. And it will be very difficult to trust that.
So it's like, it seems like doing something, but actually the mind
This is how it turns out, that in the end, like first you trust your mind and it feels like, oh my God, I'm not going to follow my heart because my mind is clearly saying like do whatever but not what your heart is saying. But he's saying like, it's like this in the beginning, but after a while, after spending time in your heart, in the end, it will seem, your heart will be the real place for you, from where to live and where to be. So it will be the opposite, actually. Then you will listen, you will hear your mind, and it will feel like very stupid. Like how all these people are still following their mind. You know? So it will kind of come the other way around. But in the beginning, it really seems like that you are going to become crazy. Yeah? They don't have to be enemies. But the mind we know is kind of, it's not true, kind of. Like whatever, it feels like whatever is coming from the mind we know is coming out of fear.
Are you referring then to the ego?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, people's word or perception of what mind is can be sometimes different from someone else. And so,
So what is for you the mind?
Well, the ego part of the mind, which is always centered around, like, pleasures and always in the past and the future. But there is a higher state of consciousness that
is the heart, is it also awareness? Is that not possible, like, have a super consciousness in the mind, which is in tune with the heart?
Yeah, because
somehow, like, in my understanding and kind of my experience, like, then somehow I don't call it mind. You know? Because it feels more like the mind is something that, in a practical level, it stays, like very in a very, very useful level, we can use the mind. But other than that, if we live in our hearts, the mind doesn't have that use. So, because when we say mind, is this that is always with batteries, you know, like boom, 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 like going on. And we follow that a lot. But when we live in our heart, this becomes very, very silent. It has no voice on their own. So then it has no reason to be. Only when it's practically needed. Like, to do things. Like to go buy cheese and then... Then you know, like they are saying 100 rupees and you calculate kind of, but so that's why like I understand that can be we can call it different things, but my way of saying then is like they are just names, but it's kind of important that we clarify what we mean with everything. So then I asked her, like, how do you maintain your enthusiasm?
Enthusiasm.
Yeah. And then she says, like, I listen and connect with what I love, and then truly, this makes me wake up and get up of bed and go to praise. grace, I don't know, but go to sing for everything. So being in touch with this, what I love. And then like, I like because he said, then truly, like, kind of, he says like, then truly, it's just kind of saying like, then if I connect with what I love, then it's not possible to be in bed. Like, it's kind of, it's such a joyful thing for me to then to kind of running, like get up and like sing. It's such a joyful thing for me that of course I do that, kind of. I remember like, oh, almost, she was, her expression was almost saying like, what are you talking about, you know, like, how, you know, how do you think, like, it's just not possible, you know, not to feel, if you connect with what you love, of course you will jump out of bed and sing. It's like, okay.
What do people who can't
sing? I think because, like, you don't want to know how much a bad singer I am. Like, really, you don't want to know. So, but you know already. So I manage only with today singing. So. So sorry for sorry. So, but still, it feels like that there is somehow we can sing with the voice, and there is also some other way that we can sing, like
silence.
Yeah, in silence, like you know. Yeah, yeah. You don't disturb the neighbors and also yourselves. So really like feeling this, let's say like this kind of opening, you know, something wants to open, you know. So this kind of offering or whatever, raising. Then I ask and you don't have like dark times, like dark periods of times. And then she said like, yes, like, she said, yes, I remember periods of great intimacy that were pointing towards new life. So, this kind of, you know. Like, she didn't even took it seriously, you know. I was really seriously asking, like, you know, this kind of really, like, heavy, dark times, you know. Like, kind of, I was asking seriously, you know. And she said, oh, yes, like, I remember that, like times with great intimacy that were like pointing towards new life. Then I asked like, how do you do so that you are able to sit without doing anything?
Sit,
like sit. How you say? Sit? Ah, this. Sit. You can sit without doing anything. I tried for 4 years and there's no way to pronounce this. You know. So how do you do that you are able? What do you do that you are able to sit without doing anything and not do anything? Then she said, like, great waiting. She said, like, basically, like, I prepare this this fishing can. What do you say? Fishing
pole.
Fishing pole. Fishing stick. Okay. I prepare. How you say that? So let's keep it stick. So it says, like, I prepare this fishing stick with the thread, and then only waiting. So, yeah.
Waiting. So, in my expectation.
Yeah. But I think, like, her way of saying is like, I think, like, to follow the image of the fishing is like, you prepare whatever you have to prepare, these few things you have to prepare, and then you throw this, and then you are there. Waiting, but waiting in the sense of, so it's not that you put the stick there and then you go somewhere else, you know. Like, my feeling is like waiting in the sense of being there present.
Like there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you prepare yourself, like, fully, all which is in your hands to do. Like, to prepare fully yourself, and then, like, you are simply there. And it's very, it can be very tricky, this waiting, because it could imply something, but I must say, like, somehow it implies something. Like, something comes. Like, you are not, let's say, waiting with, like, the kind of waiting that we know is waiting with anxiety. So we are waiting.
Need.
Yeah, need or demand. Like, we are waiting. It's supposed to come at 4 o'clock. I'm waiting for you, and it's 4:30. Like, I'm going to kill you when you come. So it's not like this. You know, it's this kind of great serenity, like great waiting for this. Yeah. Good. Yeah, like this. No. No. Yeah, she was living in the mountains, that's it. How did you? Because, like, if you don't need, if you don't want anything extra, what you need is very, very little. Like, she was... Huh?
Very little.
Very little. Little. So, you know, like, so if you only have to get your food, it's really like, forget about working. Like, she was working, but I tell you what she was doing. Like, she was collecting flowers, and then she was kind of drying them and making kind of little artisanal things with them. and these little bags to put in your closet so that they smell good. And very, very little things like this. And people who were passing by, they were buying this, and that was plenty for herself and to give to me also. Like, I would show up with nothing, you know. So it's like great. I always felt like great abundance there. And she only had one pot and like cooking like with fire. Like here, but there. Yeah, she was living alone for many years. She had lived in communities and pilgrimages and things, but at that time she was living alone. But it feels like, because we have this idea also, that we should not wait for anything, you know. But actually I feel that there is like a process in our practice, like where there is this waiting. Like because we feel, like it feels to me that what we feel is that like we start thinking that we have to do the whole job, kind of. So and we of course get ready to do the whole job, and then we go into retreat and almost sweating, like doing meditation. I see, you know, like really, and really like doing, like we got to get somewhere, you know. So we really feel that we have to do everything. So but there is a moment where we experience that we are not alone. Like, I think, like, in my experience, it is very important that we are not alone. That we do, let's say, like, if they are if they are like 100 kilometers between here and there, okay, and we think that we have to walk the whole 100 kilometers. So we get really ready to walk all the way. But in my experience also, like, it's not true. Like, when we actually, if we do start, with the full heart, we move ourselves, like, this, like, 1 centimeter, like, then the rest comes. So all we are doing, all we call spiritual practice, in my understanding, is this 1 centimeter. Like everything we do, no matter how hard it is this movement of this, like from 0 to 1 centimeter. And then like, so there is this like when you feel this life coming, then somehow you know that you can wait for that. That you don't have to push so hard. You only really have to prepare yourself and be there. And this will come. Like this will come. Like just be there and this will come. Of course, we prefer to keep on moving, like even, yeah, like many times we move like the same way that we move, like when we go to the gym, you know, like there are these things that I never managed to even try, but one thing that moves like this, you know, treadmill, and then you go on top of that and you move like 2 hours. And you are happy because you have been moving, but you have not moved. You have not got anywhere, you know. So it's really this kind of sense. We really have to feel like we cannot accept that we prepare ourselves and then we simply are there, this will come to us. We have to feel that we are moving. So, which is also good, because also, like, sometimes by moving, also, somehow it also comes. But it's really like it feels really accurate, this, like, preparing yourself and then just waiting, like, huge trust needs to be there. Not really.
And it's good, it's like a certain point, you feel that the forces just take over, that it go by itself, and you don't need to do nothing more, it just happens.
Not really, because she, like, what happens is, like for someone who doesn't know, it really looks is doing a lot of effort. But, okay, like, she's not saying you don't need to do anything. That, I feel that this is very important. Like, she's not saying you don't need to do anything. But you really need to do, like, exactly the right effort. So this is what we have to find, like, what is the exactly the right effort, like, how we prepare this. Like, it's very accurate. It's not like she's not doing anything. She really, like, prepares, like perfectly, let's say, like, this tea with the thread, and, like, she really has to prepare that. But because we don't know how to be that accurate, we have to move a lot, trying to prepare that. But it's not that we are preparing that. We are just not that accurate. Yeah. So I think this is very important. Like, it's not that we don't do anything, but really, like, we do, like, exactly what is needed to do, which is very, very subtle and accurate. And then once this is done, then it's not in our hands.
I understand what you say, but in my place now,
yes.
What I should say, that this is like a certain, this is a different place, like when the purpose is, I don't know, like I heard someone said that there is an appointment process, but even if you doesn't want to be like it,
yeah, it's like this, like, it feels like, I don't know, like, I don't feel that it's like, even if you don't want, but somewhere, when once you make the decision, not in your head, but once you fully, like, your whole being makes the decision, then, like, there is no way to stop it, because, you know, nothing else is tasty. So no one wants to be in a non-tasty place. So when everything, when you found this jewel, then no one has to tell you the value of this jewel. Even if it seems that you go away for a while, your heart, like, is mature enough, like, knows that won't forget about that. This is true, like, there is, once there is enough kind of clear seeing, let's say, there is no way to escape from that. But, yeah, but it needs to be, this needs to be kind of nourished and
for this to happen.
So, what is and what the doubt does?
I ask.
What is and what the doubt? What the doubt is?
Doubt?
And what the doubt does?
What is the doubt and what the
doubt? Yeah. Good. And then she said, like, the doubt you are speaking about is only like a way of losing energy. And then she said, like, to doubt is to move in circles, like like a donkey, you know? Like basically, like, yeah, to doubt is to move like this. It's not like moving forward or anything. It's just like to go around the same stone. Then I asked, like, what means to see clear? Then she kind of screamed, like, no imagination. See clear? No imagination. And then she said, I think, like, kind of following that, she said, like, we are afraid of the rawness of the things. So that we only see things, we only see things together with our ideas of how these things are supposed to be. So, yeah, basically, like, I think it's interesting this, like, we are afraid of the rawness of the things. Everyone understands rawness? Because I would definitely not understand this word a few months ago. Okay. So, like, like, my understanding, so, just please correct me. Like, one thing could this is smooth, okay? But if it's not smooth, then it's raw. You see? So, but what is raw then? And not cooked. This is what I mean. Like the, yeah. So, like, let's say, like, we are afraid of the extreme simplicity of the things, you know, like the no decoration of the things. So we are afraid of that extreme simplicity of the things. So, because we don't want to be in touch with that, it's too much for us, then we put dresses on the things. Like, we dress the things according to our liking, kind of. You know, like, so, and basically, like, that prevents us from seeing fully the things. Like, she's asking, why? No? Why or what? What do you think that is too much? This rawness of the thing. Like, my feeling is that my, yeah. like my feeling is that we like to imagine that there is something behind this veil. Like that we like to imagine that there is something that makes the veil possible. That's it. Something bigger than the veil. Like to put it in another word, we like to imagine that. So that this veil has less meaning to us. Or in other words, so that we don't have to deal with the amazingness of this veil. So if we see, if we fully see the veil, that which is bigger than the veil is in the veil. Therefore, like, it's a huge responsibility for us, because we are dealing with the veil together with this which makes possible the veil, which another word, another culture will be God, okay? So we, you know, if we don't, if we, so if we see clearly the veil, then that means that our relation to everything should be very, like, very, very, very honest. Because we are not dealing with things, mere things. We are dealing with God itself. So, but because we don't want to deal with God himself, itself, we want to deal with things so that we can own the things and do whatever we want with the things, then we say, ah, this is just a veil. Yeah, maybe there is something bigger behind it. I'm not going to go against or to touch this something bigger behind it, but this is just a veil and I can smash it if I want. So this is...
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds to me that it's very tricky to know when you actually see the thing or when you add things to it. Because when you see God in everything, it's not very natural to see God in everything. So when you see a fruit, for example, you just see the fruit as it is or as the whole story behind it. Do you add to it, or do you see it clearly?
How, if you see the fruit as it is?
Like the fruit. You have the fruit, and you start seeing, you know, everything in the fruit, you know?
Yeah.
And you start thinking about the whole process of the fruit. Is
this
adding to the fruit?
Yeah, this is imagination, you know. Like the whole process of how, let's say, like how the fruit came to be. Like if imagination. Like, it feels like we either see or don't see, kind of. But whatever in between, it feels like it's kind of imagination.
So this seeing is spontaneous. It's not like something that you...
Yeah, it's not something...
Kind of process that you...
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's not something that you reflect on it.
Yeah.
And then you come to the theory that must be done by such and such.
You just see it.
Yeah, you just see it. It can come like, wah! or it can be like, very natural to see it. But I think, yeah, I think what, I mean, there are many things that can be like juicy in that, like those sentences, but I think has a lot of power, this sense that, to me, like, I keep on feeling that we really don't want to deal with life. Like, we kind of prefer to see things as things, like, separate from what is the source, or... So that, yeah, like, clearly, I mean, so that we can do whatever we want with things. I guess, just for that. I don't know. But we find ourselves, like, again and again, like, kind of
So you can
No, that is, I think we fall, and on the way we fall. But this is kind of, when we fall, we describe our understanding of falling. Like for us, I don't know how to say that, for us it's falling, but maybe it's not falling. Like she was saying, I asked, in other words, what I asked a few sentences ago was like, and you never fall or what? Because of course my experience is like I was falling constantly. Like you say like dia si, dia tambe, like one day falling and the other also falling. This is like sentence in Catalan. So it means like there is no falling, kind of, you know. That was, of course, like, but so I asked, sorry, I just
somewhere. Yeah.
So it's falling, like, yeah, we can call it, we agree that we call it falling, okay? But if we see, like, inside this falling, also, like, there's this falling many, many times. Like, if you see, like, maybe, I mean, if we see, like, there are moments of great intimacy also when we fall, when we are, like, into this dark place. Also, like, it's very, very intimate place. And that, those moments, it seems like, kind of, they point very directly to a new life, to a new understanding. Like, you know, many poets and mystics express that in one way or other. I remember this Saint John of the Cross, like Spanish like mystic. He says like he sings to the night, the dark night of the soul, and he says like thanks is a song of thanksgiving to this dark night, because only because of this dark night, only this dark night made possible the meeting between the beloved and the beloved. Like no other way. Like, so the experience of this dark night is not dark anymore, like this. It's different from what we understand dark. Because we get like obsessed with the heaviness of the darkness instead of the potential of the darkness. So then I, of course, because I was very, still I am, but before I was more like this. So, so kind of, so which path you are, like, you advise me? And then she said, look, like, if you want, you can try other people's path. You know, and she said that, and that maybe helps you in the beginning to have enough confidence to start and to kind of keep going for a while. But then she said, but sooner or later, but sooner or later, you have to involve your heart.
Involve?
involve your heart. So you can take other people path and walk for a while, so that may, like, and he kind of said, like, that may, maybe that's needed for you, like, to have enough confidence in the beginning, you know. But sooner or later, you will have to involve your heart. Like, you cannot go all the way with borrowed things. Borrowed things? These things. You know, you really have to involve yourself in that. And then, like, I ask, like, and what do you do when things becomes too much? Like, when, like, the mess, basically, becomes too much, like. Then she said, like, please don't try to solve things. To solve. To fix.
To stop.
fix would be like better word actually. Like, please don't try to fix things, but offer them, whatever problem you feel you may have, don't try to fix it, but please offer that, and be persistent in your love for the connected solitude. Yeah. So, like, I ask, like, so what do you do when things become too much? Like, when you feel like this yucky feeling, like, and like, but you are, when you are like kind of with, you feel like that you have kind of problems and things around, then she said, like, don't try to fix these things, like, don't try to solve your problems, like what you think of as problems, but offer them. Like, whatever is your situation now, like, offer that situation. So offer that and be persistent in your love for the connected solitude. Solitude? Like, not one day thing, like, keep on, like, day by day. Right. Sorry? Solitude? Yeah, being alone. Yeah. You just offer him. Yeah, you just mean that because, yeah, usually we try to solve everything to make it perfect. So then, basically she's saying, like, don't spend your time around with what you think is a problem, you know. Don't spend your time and energy trying to fix that problem and understand this problem. But simply, like, okay, I feel I have this problem, so here I offer it. And then, like, kind of, this is, like, I offer it, and then I go back to my business. You know? So instead of spending, like, days trying to figure it out, just like, okay, I know it's here, like, I offer it, God knows what to do with this mess, and I come back to my business, like, to this love for the solitude, like, this love for this present, like, this being, like, with. Yeah. Means like persist in coming back to your heart and be there. And she doesn't follow, but in other places she says like that itself, that very act of coming back to the heart, will dissolve whatever you see as body. Yeah. Don't try to solve it, because that pulls you away from your heart, like that makes you like involved with this thing. So let it this aside and come back to your business, like to your heart. And by being in your heart, whatever needs to be dissolved, not solved, but dissolved, will be dissolved. Maybe we'll just sit for a while.